sweet sounds of Aretha Franklin. Nonetheless, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio, coming to you live from the north side of Lexington, Kentucky. My name is Chuck.
And I'm Jess.
And we're your hosts here until 2 o'clock, as we are every Friday and Saturday, if you're listening to the re-air. Which, by the way, this show will be re-aired on Saturday, starting at noon. So you can, if you just caught the last half of it and you want to hear the rest, stick around until Saturday. Maybe get some sleep in the meantime. But anyways, so we have another very special guest in the studio. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Sherry Evans Depp, and I work for Lexmark. Mm-hmm. I'm the director of global talent management and human resources, specifically the director for North America HR, and I'm also represent Lexmark on the Together Lexington group of citizens, businesses, community partners that came together really to talk about how we could bring Lexington together, make it a place that continues to grow and where people really want to be part of the community. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to have businesses or people who might want to come to Lexington to be able to say, hey, that's a place that we could really see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And particularly, for the people who live here now, just continue to make it that better place to live. And it's a great group. It's in 2017, our group had 18 different organizations that were part of Together Lexington. And this year, we've got a similar number for looking forward into 2018.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, I think it's great, and I think the work of Together Lexington through the Courageous Conversations has been remarkable. Like we said before we went on, it's important to always keep talking.
Right.
Always have that conversation and that narrative, but with the community to learn what's going on the street. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's great, and and obviously this was just the first year that it was done, and getting it started and figuring out, how to approach people, how to get people involved, and who the people you should be having conversations with, how to get them on board. So first of all, I just kind of want to ask you, where are you from initially, Sherry?
So I've been in Lexington a long time. I actually grew up in Northwest Indiana, kind of the Chicago suburbs. Mm-hmm. But my family moved back to Lexington. I went to Transylvania. Mm-hmm. And have been here a really long time. And so I call Lexington home. Mm-hmm. Lexington has been a great experience for me. I have tons of friends here. And for me, also the idea of the arts, because I've always been really into art and music. Mm-hmm. And so Lexington has always been very vibrant, and mm-hmm. so there's a part of Lexington, and also very diverse.
True.
And so for me personally, I see that, and I have a corporate role, and so when you see the good in the community that you're in, Lexmark, we have our corporate headquarters in Lexington, mm-hmm. and so for us, being able to attract and retain really, really talented people is very, very important. Mm. Being able to forecast the talent that we're going to need in the future, and also start getting ahead and trying to cultivate those folks. So Lexington and what it brings is incredibly important to our business, for the people who work for our company, and for the other organizations that Together Lexington represented. How do we continue to make this that place where we shine, all the good things about Lexington really shine?
Yeah, for sure. And at Lexmark, you're the director of human resources and global talent management, along with quite a few other things. So what is your day-to-day like, and how does Lexmark go to approach global talent?
So my day is incredibly varied. As Chuck says, the human resources side of, how do we develop our people? Mm-hmm. There's the basics of what you provide to people from a benefit side, from a wage side, but it's much more than that. It's what do you value? Mm-hmm. How do you stand for your values? How do you create an organization where people feel like they're a part of something bigger? Mm-hmm. And so we do a lot of looking at how we engage our employees. You know, Lexmark has had a lot of change in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so with change goes some uncertainty. So you want people to feel like they're still important and they've got a place and that mm-hmm. they can. The other thing is developing. So I think every one of us wants to continue growing.
Yeah, for sure.
And feel like we're learning new things and that we're given opportunities to kind of stretch and show our strengths.
Mm.
And so that's a really important part to me of that global talent management piece is you know, there's something to getting the talent, but then how do you, once you have that talent, you're able to keep people engaged and unleash everything that's inside of them,
mm-hmm.
Because it makes them stronger, it makes your organization, your company stronger, it makes your community stronger.
Yeah.
I think that's some of the things, one of the things that I'm also responsible for is global inclusion and diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, looking at what are all the unique things we each bring to the table.
True.
And how do we have everybody appreciate that
mm-hmm.
that's at the table is really important. So, you know, I'm doing the things that aren't my favorite, like spreadsheets, and unfortunately,
yeah.
you know, some things I was doing earlier
the grind,
yeah. and you know, budgets, those are things that you do. But there's a lot of what we do of you know, helping people be in a good place,
mm-hmm.
and I also am responsible at Lexmark for corporate citizenship, and that is how we interface with the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we give monetarily, but also how we give the talents of our employees. And we've found that there's a huge engagement connection between the community and our employees. They want to feel like we're a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true in Lexington, but that's globally true for all of Lexmark. We have community is one of our core values.
Mm-hmm.
And we really encourage our employees. We give 3 paid days of volunteer time to our employees.
Cool.
So that they can give back to the community and use those in whatever volunteer way that they want to do that. And we also are very involved in some of the relief things that have been going on. You know, we've got, you know, right now we've had Harvey. We had offices in the Houston area, now our Latin America offices in Coral Gables, which is just outside of Miami.
Wow.
So we're trying to look at, you know, what are the ways that we can help there.
Mm. So it's not just supporting community in Lexington, it's supporting the community wherever LexArts
yeah.
is, or sorry, Lexmark
yeah,
is.
Lexmark is, and the idea that, again, that we're a global family,
mm-hmm.
I think is really important.
Yeah.
Well, I will say one of our most devoted board members at the Carnegie Center, which is where I work, mm-hmm. is a Lexmark employee.
Great.
And she's been with us for several years, and I'm sure takes advantage of the volunteer opportunities because she comes to way more than 3 events. So,
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for that encouragement. It really does make a difference to have corporate members and people who are on that other side of community be invested in our nonprofit work.
Yeah, and I think the philanthropy work of Lexmark is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, even this radio station, you know, Lexmark helps us out so much, but quite a few other places too.
Yeah.
So thanks
for
that.
We're glad to do it. And we're very glad to have, it's very energizing. So the Carnegie Center and this radio station, it's very energizing mm-hmm. to our people to be able to be involved.
Yeah, and you know,
so thank you.
What is the statement like, we all rise when the tide rises?
Exactly.
Or something along those lines. So,
I think that works.
Yeah, I think so. So I can understand why they would ask you to be a member of Together Lexington. You know, if you're dealing with these global communities and figuring out how to utilize people's uniqueness in the best way, you know, certainly this community needs that in addressing its issues and problems that come about. So for folks that don't know, can you explain what Together Lexington is?
Yes. Yeah, so it, again, it's a group of corporate partners. So our members are, you know, the corporate, the nonprofit world.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Lexington has several representatives. I probably should have brought my list of all of our Together Lexington partners, but
more than 200.
Yeah,
right?
There's in the businesses that come together. Also, they contribute monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've got between 15 and 18 businesses or organizations that contribute monetarily, and then we've got all these partners, you know, that we're working through. And the idea again is how can we lend leadership, and how can we take a look across all of the things going on in Lexington and figure out what are the ways that we can contribute like through actions like the Courageous Conversations that we've sponsored, as well as doing things like we helped kind of push over the edge the sculpture in Isaac Murphy Park, mm-hmm. Which again that had, they're trying to let's get over the finish line with the park and be able to do that. We're doing some work on African American signage, mm-hmm. in Lexington. There's a lot, and we started looking at that even before some of the more recent events that have come about because of the statues and mm-hmm. and the conversation about where's the bigger picture around history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being able to give some different viewpoints through what the Lexington community in the city is able to offer to people. So mm-hmm. if they walk around, what is it that they see of our city?
Yeah.
What does that represent? Does it fully represent the experiences of everyone?
Mm-hmm.
We felt that there was a need for, some signage that told a different side of the story of Lexington, which is the African-American mm-hmm. story. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually right now working through, what should that signage look like? What are the locations in Lexington?
Mm-hmm.
We've got the African-American Cemetery. I mean, there's actually, Cheapside itself, it has a lot of history and not great history.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we tell that story?
Yeah.
More proportionate history telling, which I feel like our city lacks. Maybe not necessarily that there's our African American history. I feel like it's all of our history.
Exactly.
And having accurate representation and signage that really tells our story.
Yes.
Yeah, and both sides of the story, you know? Like, even with the Confederate statue argument, a lot of people want to say that's, we're getting rid of history, but really there aren't any statues for the Union soldiers anywhere in Lexington. The only statues are for two Confederate soldiers.
Well, but again, it's this disproportionate representation
exactly.
when there were so many more members of our state that fought for the Union than mm-hmm. fought for the Confederacy.
Exactly.
And so the idea that we're only showcasing Confederate generals would suggest that perhaps they were the majority mm-hmm. or the victors, which they were neither. So I think just having a more accurate truth-telling
mm-hmm.
is the way to move a city forward
yeah.
and to embrace our history as all of ours, not one side or the other,
yeah.
but together.
And history does, the most important role is to teach us how we should be conducting ourselves in the present and mm-hmm. what we can learn from our past mistakes. So props to you guys for foreseeing that was a huge gap that needed to be fulfilled. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know I read that you all had raised $55,000 for that signage project, correct?
That's right.
Cool. And so now the discussion of where to put it is happening and everything. So mm-hmm. very
exactly.
excited about that.
So what was it? You had said this project started in 2017. So this...
Let me see if I can get my, because kind of last year is when we first came together and started looking at, what were the things. So the money that was contributed by the partners, the 18 partners, we started looking at, where is it that we can get the biggest impact. So we'd gone out to the community and opened up for suggestions for how we might spend dollars to help bring Lexington together. And in our conversations, there had been a very impactful event. Many of us are members of Commerce Lexington, either as Commerce Lexington board members or just, involved with Commerce Lexington through being members. And every year, Commerce Lexington does a leadership trip to another city mm-hmm. to see, usually we're looking for a city that might be comparable to Lexington in size mm-hmm. or circumstances. And we went
You went to Charleston,
right? We went to Charleston.
South Carolina.
And that was a fantastic experience, but it was also an incredibly moving experience. We had the opportunity to go to Mother Emanuel
mm.
in Charleston, which is the church that had very recently had just been the site of a mass murder, right?
Yeah.
So you had someone who was...
a white supremacist.
It was a white supremacist. He mm-hmm. had a lot of, Confederate memorabilia on his Facebook mm-hmm. and was clearly had that viewpoint of the world, and who went into the church. It was incredibly welcoming
mm-hmm.
during a Bible study and killed 9 people.
Mm.
And just, it was horrific.
Yeah.
And that community had come together as a community. They didn't erupt into some of the violence that you saw, you know, in other places like in Baltimore mm-hmm. or what happened in Ferguson. Mm-hmm. And so there was something that they had done right in advance of some horrible tragedy like this that allowed the community to not erupt and allowed the community to come together. And again, you know, what we wanted to see was, you know, what did you do that we can learn from? Mm. Knowing that we've done a lot of work and had already been doing work with, you know, how does the police work with the city and community partners and leaders of faith, and how do we have those conversations? But what we were able to do there was have a panel. I guess she was the main pastor at the church, was there. The police chief was there for Charleston, and then we were able to have our police chief and some of our community leaders. Oh. Alan Stein, who was the chair of the board, was able to facilitate a conversation with that panel and all of the people who were there from Lexington community on that leadership trip, and talk about things that we'd probably never gotten to that were much more real. So they were still about our community, but they were deeper about the emotional connection of our community. Mm. And listening to how the faith leaders there had worked with the police to create a safety net. And of course, you know, you always hope nothing horrible happens, or just like what happened in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
How do you prepare yourself for that? Mm. But we had a short amount of time, so we were in some ways able to open up a whole different level of connection and community, but we weren't able to really get to the meat of things. Mm-hmm. So what Together Lexington looked at was, should we do something similar, and how do we do that? Mm-hmm. And so we really felt like continuing those courageous conversations. And let me just also make a point that those aren't the only conversations that were happening. Lexington has other community conversations that are going on, but we wanted this to open this up to everybody in Lexington mm-hmm. so that anybody could come and have a conversation about particular topics. Mm-hmm. And so that was really our thought process on how we move forward with this. We wanted to start with the action.
And yeah. having courageous conversations before an event, you know, not being sparked by tragedy or being triggered by a community travesty, but starting the conversations earlier about what things are happening that could contribute to it. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and I think it's great that you all decided, you know, to figure out how a community can respond with love and forgiveness mm-hmm. rather than, you know, anger and destruction.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's vital. And I know of the 12 courageous conversations that happened, you know, some of the topics you all covered were housing and homelessness, drugs and heroin, gentrification, LGBTQ inclusion, police and community relations, and race relations.
That's right.
Right? And so what were some of the things ascertained from those discussions? I know that Together Lexington has recently, you know, I think it was on August 10th, issued a report on basically what was found from those conversations with nearly 450 people during those 12 courageous conversations.
That's right. We did two sessions on each of those topics. And I think the first thing that I would say was the fact that we had you know, about 450 people who participated in those 12 sessions mm-hmm. Was a very positive thing.
Yeah.
The diversity in who came to those sessions mm-hmm. was also really positive. We tried to make sure that we varied the locations of each of those sessions where we could make them accessible to people in the neighborhoods mm-hmm. and in communities, as well as make it so the sheriff's department came to many of those. The Lexington Police Department had representation. Community partners were able to come. And really what we found, it was interesting because when we were querying people on why they came, while we did have, I think it was about 20% of people who came because they were really passionate about that particular topic, we had another, 15% who just wanted to see what would be said, mm-hmm. and another 15% who actually wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. So said that's something maybe I don't know enough about.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of different reasons why people came to that as well.
Yeah, and I felt that. I went to one of the LGBTQ inclusion mm-hmm. Sessions at the Plannery, and yeah, as a straight male, I really wanted to just learn more about how I can be an ally.
Yep.
And I learned so much. I mean, even though there was a pretty wide variety of people there, and it was an incredible experience to just learn about what's happening, in their lives every day and how it relates, and not just to talk about it and how terrible it is, but really to proactively discover solutions or think about ways that we can make it better.
Yep, exactly. The one of the things that we wanted to get to in those sessions, we wanted to be able to facilitate them in a way that people felt safe that they could have a courageous conversation. Mm-hmm. So we had partnered with Eastern Kentucky University, and they have a facilitation center there that specializes in neutral facilitation.
Wow.
And so we partnered with them, and then Roger Cleveland, who's also works for EKU, and so they work together to facilitate this in a way that kept things as neutral as possible while getting to the solutions. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to just come up with kind of what the problems were, but also what were the things we could get to. Mm-hmm. And so in being able to do that, and I'd also note that there were some where we had a lot of people, and some of them that were smaller and more intimate, and both of those had huge advantages,
yeah.
right? So some of them were so intimate that you could really get to the core of issues quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the larger ones were, there was a lot of really robust conversation. The gentrification sessions, there was a lot of give and take.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of different.
It's a hard topic.
Yeah,
it is.
It really is. And it's one that's fairly new to Lexington, mm-hmm. That whole idea. We had a lot of people who really, that's one where people like, I'm not even sure what this is, so can you help me?
And, yeah.
And that people had some strong, very strong emotions around that one. The race relations was also another one where there was some really great, robust, passionate conversation, very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But people really, brought out those issues.
Yeah, and I think that's difficult. The hardest part of having those conversations is having a progressive discussion rather than, people mm-hmm. just stubbornly screaming their viewpoint.
Listening to each other.
Yeah, listening is huge. Yeah. So it's important, and a props for getting a facilitator, to neutrally step in and when need be. I believe it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what were some of the conclusions that came of those discussions?
So, several of them, there were things that were specific that Lexington Urban County Government could do. I was just looking. We, as you said, we put out an executive summary.
And where can people go to read that if they want?
If you go to Together Lexington, is it .com or .org? I'm blanking actually right now. But if you
I had it pulled up, I think it's .com. I was just looking at it.
Yeah. We're...
It is .com.
It is .com. Good. So, togetherlexington.com, and you can get all kinds of information. You can get the executive summaries that we have out there, and then there is a specific summary for each of our six topics mm-hmm. that really dives deeper into what is available, the thought process of that we went through, and then potential solutions. And so, a lot of them, I was, looking at around... for homelessness and affordable housing, and which also is interesting because the gentrification issue, in some ways, mm-hmm. they're separate, but in many ways they ended up tying in together.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Around questions on how we could do a cost-based analysis on some things. There's a lot of talk right now about the urban service boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And should that be done?
With the comprehensive plan coming
yes,
up.
Yes, yeah. exactly. And so there's a lot, more looking into that. And, of course, that's kind of what's happening right now, right? There's a lot, the planning committee is mm-hmm. Talking more. People have the opportunity to respond in the community.
Yeah.
They're looking for public input.
Yeah, and this is for the next 5 years, the plan for the city and how to grow and how to develop,
exactly.
in case people don't know what the comprehensive
yes.
plan is. So.
And that's something that was really coming out of that.
So if there's something you want to see, contact your council member now. now would be a good time to do that.
Yeah, and I think housing is a really important topic. I was just at an urban council meeting a few weeks ago when the housing shortage issue came up, and I was astounded's the wrong word because I knew that we had a housing shortage issue, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize, so for people who are making $20,000 or less, households in our city, that there is a shortage of 8,000 homes. And I just was blown away by that.
Yeah.
I mean, that just seems like such a massive number for a shortage.
It is. And it's affordable housing, yeah.
And it's affordable housing, yeah, yeah, which we're missing. So it seems like it's on the radar for the city, mm-hmm. finally.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, the idea that there were key points that came out of that. Some of the things were very, you know, specific about, you know, do we have a developer or landlord tax with funds that get dedicated to affordable housing or helping homeowners be able to meet expenses, you know, as one of the issues with gentrification is the what your house is worth goes up, mm-hmm. which means your taxes go up.
Yeah, property
so if you're,
tax. Yeah.
Right. So if you're somebody who's lived in a neighborhood for 50 years, mm-hmm. you're elderly, and all of a sudden,
an arcade bar shows up next door.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm not calling out any arcades bar. I'm just saying gentrification.
You know, yeah, more
that's not in
more
the neighborhood.
Upscale restaurants.
Right.
End up, people come in and they buy the homes at a reasonable price and they renovate them and they upgrade them considerably.
Mm-hmm.
So then that whole neighborhood becomes, you know, worth more.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the people who've been living there, it's been worth everything to them already.
Mm-hmm.
But now all of a sudden there's this added tax. So is there a way that we could look at, you know, is there a fund or is there a way that we could help monetarily people who are unable to meet that gap?
Mm-hmm.
Are there ways that either, again, you know, the answer isn't always that the government comes in and taxes higher, right? It may
yeah.
be that is there some kind of commission that needs to be put together where all of those parties come together to come up with some very concrete solutions.
Yeah, and I know now the city has an affordable housing fund that every year they put, I think, $1 million into, somewhere around there, so
like
it's
I've
growing.
I've always wondered for folks who've lived in homes, and this is a question, so I really don't know the answer, but for folks who've lived in a home for like 20 plus years, is there a way to grandfather those people in the way we grandfather in code issues, you know, in homes? Can we grandfather people in to being able to maintain the tax that they've been paying and then their neighbors who are able to afford the higher home that now carries the higher property cast perhaps carries more of their earlier neighbors?
Mm.
Yeah. I've just always, like, why can we grandfather some things in but not others?
Yeah.
Yeah. There actually is.
Can grandfather my piping in my 19-20-year-old house?
Yeah. This lead tastes great.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
There's a tax break, and I don't want to give tax information because I'm going to get it all wrong.
Uh-huh.
But there is for people, I believe it's, I can't remember, 60 or 65, where mm-hmm. if you own property taxes, mm-hmm. there's a break.
Yeah.
It might be $25,000 break on what their homes are worth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think that might apply to you, talk to a tax specialist.
Yeah.
But there is some of that, right, that's built in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for others,
Well, and I was really intrigued when I was on the website and I saw some of your partners that I saw companies like Ball Homes.
Right.
I thought, okay, that's cool. Like, we're mm-hmm. bringing in developers and people who can maybe contribute in a more positive way perhaps than they are now, or maybe even educating developers on issues that they perhaps didn't know about and vice versa. But
yeah.
I just thought it was a really versatile list of participants that are working with you all, and that was encouraging.
Yeah, and I think bridging that gap between city, universities, communities, and corporate world, you know,
yeah.
and nonprofits, you know, I think all of them bring a different amount of information and a different way to engage the public.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's great to get everybody under yep. the same roof.
One of the other ones that was really interesting, like in the race relations, we talked a lot about what's missing as a community, mm-hmm. and we talked about where, when it comes to entertainment and when people come together for entertainment, mm-hmm. that there's a real division. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of opportunity for people of different races to go to the same place for entertainment. Maybe it's music, maybe it's something else, but mm-hmm. that there seems to be quite a lack of cool places for people to go and encounter a very diverse group of individuals.
We're so subdivided.
And that was, you know, one that it was interesting because we talked about this also at the LGBTQ session that I went to. Mm-hmm. 4th of July was an example of when people said, in 4th of July in Lexington, everybody come together. There's kind of an atmosphere downtown, and there's a lot of entertainment, and people just coming together in a very mixed crowd. 4th of July seemed to be our nirvana when it came to opportunities for different races and just different people mm-hmm. to come together and really enjoy each other.
Yeah.
And why is it? Why is it one time a year? I mean, clearly the weather's nice, and there's a lot more going on, but something like that where that's something that everybody agreed was really missing. Yeah. It seems like it should be simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seems to not be something simple.
Yeah, and I think in a country like America that's relatively young and is really an amalgamation of, you know, people from other places, unless you're Native American. You know, you're from somewhere else, or your great-grandfather's grandfather's from somebody else, or from somewhere else. Well, both, I guess. So anyway, my point is that, you know, we don't have a lot of indigenous culture beyond, you know, 4th of July and kind of our national holidays. You know, like, what is American food? You know, mm-hmm. you know, a hamburger is actually, German, you know, hot dogs are German, sandwiches are British, you know, pizza's Italian. Yeah. So it's like, really, when you break it down, you know, what is indigenously American? And I think I felt this way living in Japan of like, I get it. There are traditions that have been going on for thousands of years because they've had time to develop. And America doesn't have a lot of things that we can just universally unite around beyond just the fact that we're all unique and from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I can see why that would be a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. At the Carnegie Center, we started hosting community conversations because we noticed we served such a large minority population. And we have always found the Carnegie Center to be an extremely diverse group at our events. Mm-hmm. Mayor Gray had said one time at the Carnegie Center, it was the most diverse place in Lexington. And he's right. I mean, we serve close to 10,000 people a year. They come from all different socioeconomic levels and all different backgrounds. But we noticed that some events attracted certain groups, and we were trying to bridge that together. And I think we learned that having a staff that's as diverse as the people that you serve, which has been an issue for the Carnegie Center, and having a board that is diverse as the people that you serve, really suggests that you are serious about a welcoming space and you are serious about making a home for everybody. Mm. And so what our conversations did, since we aren't quite there yet with our staff and we aren't quite there yet with our board, is giving topics that are not necessarily given platforms. And so when we hosted Black Women Writers of the South, which KET came in and aired, mm-hmm. it was suggesting that as a community learning center, a public center, that the Carnegie Center is trying to provide a platform for all these voices. We did the same with the statues. Mm-hmm. Way before it was really a hot issue, we had that conversation over 3 years ago mm-hmm. about what to do with the statues at Cheapside, mm-hmm. really because it was affecting a group of people that we served. And so being conscious of, I think, conversations that can elevate and lift people is important. It's what we're learning. It's every day we're learning.
Yeah, and I think it's great, you know, with Carnegie Center and Lexington Community Radio that, like we said in the beginning, you know, it's important to keep that conversation going and mm-hmm. understand what the issues are. But I think where Together Lexington comes in is because there are so many, you know, for-profit businesses that are coming into play, there is some capital that can go behind that. And, you know, having the conversation can do a lot, and I think with volunteers and community activists, you can get a lot done, as we've seen recently in Lexington. It can't be done. But also being in a situation where you have capital behind it to make those projects happen and build, you know, those historical placards to the history that we've forgotten or voluntarily chose not to tell, I think is a whole nother level. You know, not necessarily more important, but is a different approach and has a different backing.
And helping those conversations meet fruition, which is something that, you know, nonprofits don't necessarily have the ability to do, which is why programs and groups like your a part of makes a huge difference.
Yeah, the action part of the conversation, like we were talking about. So I guess that leads into my next question. You know, what are some actions that Together Lexington wants to do? I know we talked about the signage, but as far as the future goes.
Yeah, and so one of the things that we want to do is we want to be able to, you know, again, present this report, you know, talk to the council members, make sure people are aware. Several of the council members actually came to more than one of these conversations, but being able to disseminate the information that we have with the city government and partners, kind of do double loop on the information that we received. You know, we did one on policing and then being able to go back with, you know, the sheriff's department and the police department on what some of the findings were. Mm. So one is, again, making sure that you take the information you've already gotten and you share that in the right places. So, you know, that's part of what we're trying to do through this. There were, as I said, if you go into the report, there were very specific recommendations on several of these. And so looking at, can we continue to support some of those? Your point about having diversity in leadership is incredibly important because that was the other thing of being able to, you know, how do I feel like I have a personal voice, but that the voice of others like me is heard and that I can see people who are leaders really doing things about that. That's a very much an empowerment piece that I think is important. We want to continue this year, going into this year, to look at the projects that we're going to be able to fund. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got several on the table that we're discussing. You know, we had the drugs and heroin, very specific conversation, but we know that opioids right now are devastating.
Huge problem. Yeah.
Huge
Kentucky.
Problem.
I think Kentucky has the third highest overdose rate of any state in America.
Yeah, it's really, and again, so much of this has been so pertinent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking at how can we help get, you know, fund for some of those, you know, the PSAs, I think, that you guys had put forward and some ways that we can do that. Continuing to individually, as Together Lexington partners, whenever we get the opportunity to share the fact that we had the conversations, that there are very specific actions that came out of that, and figuring out how we can, back to the facilitation piece, how can we continue to facilitate some of those connections that need to be made between different organizations or people, and how can we, you know, to your point, how do we continue the conversation? So, you know, before we went on air, it was a little bit of, you know, do we just continue conversations? No, we have to get to action. Mm. But you never want to stop talking.
It's true.
So you know, we're looking at you know, what would a phase two conversation series look like? Mm. But we really feel strongly we want to have some real actions in place so it doesn't feel like we're just spinning.
Yeah. All bark, yeah. No bite.
That's right. You know, we, because some of the things that we talked about were things that maybe the community can come together around. Mm-hmm. You know, that entertainment piece, you know, how do we bring people together and let people, you know, break bread and enjoy themselves with each other? But some of them do require government help. Some of them require certain, you know, other businesses, other people who are invested in this community stepping up, and maybe stepping up in ways that they haven't before. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, we're looking at this next round of investment that we want to make into the community based on those courageous conversations and weigh which ones will reach the greatest number of people. Mm-hmm. There, we get a lot of great groups coming forward saying, hey, you know, it would be really helpful to us if you could invest in us. So it's always tough because we have to make decisions like that because they're all fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, people have, and it shows the creativity that's here because people do have a lot of different ideas. Can you fund this for us? Can you fund that for us? Yeah. And then we have to figure out what are the ones that really go back to the conversation. So because we want to continue having those 450 people plus know what we're doing. So back to that, you know, double loop communication, we have to make sure we stay connected to them so we can say, here's what we're doing. And they can call us out if they think it's not enough.
Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, we heard this, you're doing this, we think this would be something more impactful. So we want to keep those lines of communication open as we move forward on investing and how we invest, how we can continue the conversations, and just making sure that the right people are brought to the table.
Well, that's great, and I'm so glad that you all are doing it. And again, if you're just joining us, we're here in the studio with Sherry Evans-Depp, who is the Director of Human Resources and Global Talent Management at Lexmark. So thank you so much, Sherry, for coming in.
It's been wonderful.
It's been a great conversation. And for if people want to see the report and see everything that's come out from that, you can go to togetherlexington.com. And is there anything coming up that people should know about or anything we didn't cover?
Well, I'm sure we have things coming up. Can't think of them all off the top of my head. We've been meeting fairly regularly just to continue the planning and figuring out where the funds need to go. So stay tuned for that because you know, we want to make sure that we're consistently using those dollars that people have contributed for the right things, and then trying to not only fund them, but let the community know about those things, and so that we're not just giving money, but we're also helping again get the word out about how great those initiatives are for Lexington.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I think it's important to let people know that, you know, their voices are being heard, and that traditionally, if you're disenfranchised, you know that now finally there is somebody willing to go to bat for you, and they want your input and your information. So thank you for doing that, and thanks for working to make our city a better place for everybody. You know, we appreciate it. So Together Lexington, Courageous Conversations, check out the report, and if y'all do a second round of conversations, we'll be sure to let the people know.
Fantastic.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jess.
Thank you, Chuck,
for coming in. This has been a great show. I hope everybody enjoys your Friday. Stay safe. It's probably going to be some rain over the weekend, so heads up for that. But anyways, nonetheless, we'll be back next week. As always, you can check out our shows on SoundCloud, on LexingtonCommunityRadio.org, and on iTunes if you search for Bluegrass Bios. But nonetheless, we'll be back next week. Until then, take care, and we'll see y'all next time. Adios.